You're listening to The Oaks Church, a faith family located in Denham Springs, Louisiana. For more information about The Oaks, visit oaksonline.org.
When the word harmony comes to mind, think with me, what's the first thought, the impression that you receive? If you're a mother, parent, maybe it's your room, maybe it's your home, maybe it's organization. All the different pieces that make up nurturing your home. If you're a musician, maybe music, singing, different octaves, things I do not understand. If you're an outdoorsman, maybe it's creation. Maybe you just sit there in a deer stand for hours and hours, which I don't understand. And you just look out there and you're like, you're just in awe. I do understand the beauty of creation, but to sit there for hours and hours, it's not for me. Maybe it's the Trinity. When you hear harmony, think about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit working together, three in one. Harmony is such an important part of who we are, what we do, and what we are about as believers of Christ, as Christians. As we just heard in testimony, real simple and very clear, all the refugees and you and I want is a roof over our head, food and water to drink, and peace of mind that we're going to be safe. Harmony. We're going to get into that today. As we look in 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll pick up in verse 8. So if you have your word, go ahead and dive into that. We're going to be in that one verse today. Verse 8. And regardless of which thought immediately entered your mind and came to surface, one thing is certain, that for harmony to exist, all things in all situations must be in agreement in one accord. That's how true, genuine harmony comes to life. If it was music, the sound must be just right. It must be in sync to appease the ear. Ask any musician when something does not sound right, does not work, it grinds against you. Because you understand what it is to look like and what it is to sound like. If it is creation, think with me, the bird has no nest without the small branch or twig. There's no nest without the tree. And there's no nest without the wind blowing into the trees to knock the twig on the ground. And then there's no tree without taking root and having sunlight and having rain. The harmony of creation, you have to slow down to really let it sink in. If it was the Trinity, we're in awe of how the Father and the Son work with the Holy Spirit together. The harmony in the Gospels, all having a different part to tell, but being in and having a story to tell, but being in agreement to tell the greater story. Harmony threads throughout the Scriptures. And it is, I believe, and I am convinced that it is a desire and that it is a hope of our Heavenly Father that all of us experience that at a certain, to an extent, here on this earth. We're going to learn about that this morning as God hopes for you and I to experience this harmony that is righteous. And after all, think about God, our Creator. He made in us and created in us and created this world the ability to harmonize. It is perfect to Him. And He wants that to work and to work in us and through us. And I understand that if we look at this creation, if we look at our lives, if we look at our relationships, and they begin to sync with God, they begin to sync with the Spirit of Christ, we're able to recline and just bask in His glory here in this wretched, fallen earth. Odd. Very unfamiliar, but good. So hopeful. It gives us so much hope. This harmony that I'm talking about. So church, as we look today, trust with me this morning that the instruction we're going to receive is perfectly from God for His church. It's for us to experience His goodness. For He has made it possible. And leading up to this, we've been looking at different areas in our life and our responsibilities. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 12, Pastor Joe gave us a very clear understanding of where we are and our responsibility with the world. Our displaying the grace of God to those we encounter. And then he moved on in 13 through 17 in chapter 2, the responsibility before governing authorities in our lives. And we kept moving through in chapter 2, 18 through 25, a responsibility in our servant and master, our bosses, our relationship. And then the fourth one is that in chapter 3, picked up last week, is in our wife and our husband and our marriage and our relationships. All of these responsibilities and God's instruction through Peter for us to live in harmony in a lost world. Who we represent. So this morning, after we look at those four things, we look at our position before lost people and our responsibility there. Then we look at governing authorities. Then we look at our servants and our masters and our bosses, and then we look at our wives and our husbands and our homes. Now, we have one last area to look at in our lives. You and I. Church. He is saying, here it is. In ESV, it says, finally. It's like after all of these scriptures and these passages we've been studying in this letter, finally, which is some meat, like here's where we are, and I want you to hear me. And we examine these responsibilities carefully. We'll see God's grace in this design, and He wants you and I to experience His grace in everyday life. We talk about that often here. From the beginning, God created. He created perfect harmony, perfect world between you and I and creation. And He belongs for that to be restored, and we are hopeful that we'll be restored. Amen, church? So as we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, real quickly this morning. Let's read it together. It says, finally, this is chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. I hope this morning your brain's beginning to process where you fall as the church body in each area that was just mentioned. Peter could not have been any more clear speaking on behalf of the inspired word of God. He says, finally, unity of mind. Finally, all of you, be sympathetic. Show brotherly love. Have a tender heart. Be humble in your mind. So as we advance through this and look through this, that's where we're going to be. Finally, all of you basically sum up to the church, summing up this church reading, saying, after writing all of this up to this point, let's talk about you and I. Let's talk about how you and I treat each other and treat others in the world. Yes, I have looked through how we serve our bosses, how we serve each other in our marriage, how we work with coworkers. I've looked at how we represent the lost to the lost world. But now, how does the church function in full harmony to experience the goodness of God? And he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind. This is being like-minded. This is being of one mind. We must maintain a unity of mind and of heart. If this was a command, and we strive and pursue this unity of mind, how do we do so? By studying the Word of God. This is what calibrates you and I. This is the backdrop by what we put all things against to test. There's not one man or woman in this room and in this world who has arrived and should not be tested. The Word of God is literally our foundation. And as we study the Word of God, it will begin to work in us this unity. Because we begin to think in this like-mindedness of the truth of God. And as it renews our thinking and changes our heart, we move towards our pursuit, and His likeness will not leave us, but it will position us in like-mindedness, and we will gain this point of unity, which is strength. God wants His church. Yes, we'll learn in just a moment to be humble, but in that humility to have strength. And we have strength because we're confident in the Word of God and knowing the Word of God that is bringing us and binding us together. So I have to ask the question, where are you? Can you even confidently, church, this morning, look to the Word and understand what you're reading? Have you been taught and learned? Have you pursued or asked questions to those you trust? Teach me the Bible. It is unfortunate that we can sit and talk and there are so many people, including in our little small congregation, that is intimidated by the Word God. Maybe it's your flesh, and it should be. Maybe you don't want to change. Maybe you found yourself comfortable, casual, and complacent in your Christian walk. I will promise you the last 3 weeks I have prayed that the Spirit of God stirs you. Whether that is mentally, physically, and my prayer was spiritually, that complacency will find its way and just forged out of your life. And you begin just to chase after God. Maybe there was a season in your life where you were there. But as we get back to our passage today, we see this unity of mind is brought on by like-mindedness. Our like-mindedness is brought on by the Word of God and the church. We know Him more, and by knowing Him more, we will know everything and anything about Him. We will all have conversation about this same Christ because of the Word of God. The Word of God will be the central part of everything that we do. And when we understand that, our opinions slowly are out the window. Out the windows. That doesn't mean we don't have questions. We don't have conversation. But we know at the end of the day, we land on God's truth. So my encouragement to you, if you're in a married, if you're in a relationship, if you're a coworker, we all are. If your neighbor's crazy, I don't know where you are. Pursue Christ. Let me leave it that simple. Pursue Christ. Let everything else figure itself out. It will. We fulfill this command when each of us are responsible in that pursuit. And secondly, he says, be sympathetic, have sympathy, compassion, kindness. And as I begin to look at sympathy, understanding. We need to have understanding of one another. We say it often, to seek understanding, not division. We stand together. But the reality is, we're not all going to be thinking. The Spirit's going to work through that, our conversations. As we have conversations, most importantly about the Word of God, but even practical things moving forward as a church family, even in your home, as you sit with your wife or sit with your brothers and sister and mom, dad, whatever dynamic you are placed in, begin to work out understanding of one another. Have sympathy for someone. They just might be hurt. They don't get it. Because I'm going to speak. I don't know if I was going to share this, but I'll share it. My wife, over the course of the last 4 weeks, has been so sympathetic to me where I was. She was fulfilling this every commandment. When I was emotionally irrational in some situations, it happens, trust me, I am an emotional person. She was stable. She was confident. She was able to forego certain conversations that you want to have as man and woman and wife and husband because she knew she needed to give it time to let the Spirit of God work. But she understood me. She understood that I was in a place that she could not change my behavior or modify it. She could only trust God. That's where we need to be as a faith family. But we can't be there until we exercise this next part that we were commanded to do, and that is brotherly love. This is not general love, this common grace, just to love one another, but he says brotherly love, all of you. have unity in mind by being sympathetic for one another and understanding. Be unified in mind by understanding the word, but now be unified in mind with a brotherly love and affection. I know when I read through this, I immediately went to my siblings. I love my family. I would go to war with my sister and brother. Many of us have those same experiences, but some of us aren't. Some of us are only children. So I began to look deeper into what this brotherly love would look like. And it's this natural affection toward the greater community of believers. We have this natural affection that goes beyond our mere duty. We're called and commanded to love. And we do that because Christ first loved us. But now we find ourselves in a faith family. That we go, it's just a depth to it. It's brotherly. A depth that only happens when you and I begin to understand one another. To know each other. As I just referenced in testimony of my wife loving me through, I would find a very darker period of recently. Of walking through just grief and misunderstanding of life. And we've all been there. But I also had brothers reach out saying, "What's up? You're not yourself." And they would not know that I was not myself unless they were with me in my life, doing life, and understanding Casey Bellevue for who I am. That's brotherly love. That's being so close that when you do not text back fast enough, someone asks, "You're out of character, what's going on?" That's how close you and I are to walk together in unity of mind in Christ. Isolation has no place here. Self-absorbing has no place in brotherly love. But the reality is, it's where I was, and it's where you will be. And we have to be the church and understand that. It can't be language. It can't be words anymore, catchphrases in the church. It has to be reality. It has to be actions. So we have this brotherly love, and we can't help to think about just our family and where it has brought us. And as we begin to listen, and as we're disciplined in this command, we build our church community, and it begins to grow. Maybe numerically, but it begins to grow deep. It begins to grow deep. And that's important. So that we know needs, we meet the needs. When we have neighbors who have needs, we meet those needs because you know your neighbors. You've expressed this kind of love. So this morning, my challenge to you is, where are you? Are you isolated this morning? Are you complacent and just going with this rhythm of life? And to be quite honest, faith family on Sunday mornings is all that exists when it comes to church. I'm here to tell you there's more. More. When you are out of the picture as a true believer and confessed follower of Christ, and we see the model that God has designed for us, does harmony exist? Does harmony exist when you have one person missing? Think of a puzzle that's incomplete. If anybody has OCD, they understand you've got to find that one puzzle piece. If not, it goes to the trash. And I use that as an analogy to definitely understand this situation. So my encouragement and my thought to you as a pastor is that you are missed. You are missed. We have a responsibility to all be in sync and in harmony and doing our jobs in our pursuit of Christ and brotherly love. Knowing that we will not always agree, we have a Father who speaks on our behalf through His Word. There might be an issue that's open hand. We'll talk through it, agree, disagree. But when it comes to the Word of God, we cling tight. So I encourage you this morning, live in such a way that you love each other's brothers and sisters. And that whenever your life is just a little bit out of sync, that one or two people can look and say, what is wrong? That's a blessing to me. And I know that God wants the same harmony in your life to be a blessing to you. And then we move on to a tender heart, caring and gentle. And what I love about a tender heart is that a tender heart not only cares, but a tender heart does something about what it's caring for. I can look at everyone in this room and we care to be a part of the Syrian conflict. But are our hearts tender towards the situation? Does it bring us to a place to pray diligently for the faces that we see across Facebook, for the faces that we see on these scenes, for the stories that we hear? A tender heart when an orphan is brought forward, it's going to do whatever it can to take care of. A tender heart will love its wife, love his wife, and the wife will love her husband and be sympathetic. A tender heart will love the church. It will love one another. And we do all these things because God the Father was tender to us first, to send his Son, to give us this inspired word. I mean, I literally moved by the woman writing the truth, writing the stories. Do we have a tender heart to the lostness in our community, to the hunger? I can assure you that this passage has worked on me in my areas. And that leads us to a humble mind. All of this, living in unity, brotherly love, sympathetic, tender heart with a humble mind. A humble mind that is teachable leads you and I to understand Christ more. A humble mind that is teachable and seeking understanding of one another will lead us to a place to be unified. I've said it often, I'll say it again. I love my position as pastor, but I will fail you. I will not aim to do that. But knowing that I need the strength as well as you do, that's the reality. But even as a pastor and a brother to you as first in Christ, I have a responsibility to approach each morning, to approach each day, to approach each life with a humble mind. And so do you. Be teachable. Find yourself wanting to know Christ more. Humility is essential in harmony. Humility is essential in harmony. A prerequisite for to exist. Let that sink for a moment. In Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 14, it says, put then on as God's chosen ones. This is talking about putting on the new self found in Christ. Holy and beloved. Chosen ones, put on compassionate hearts. Church, put on kindness, humility, meekness. Church, put on patience. Bear with one another. There's that sympathy. Understand. If one has a complaint against one another, forgive each other. Let us work through it. And then he says in verse 14, excuse me, in the important part here, as the Lord has forgiven you, we also are to forgive one. another. But then in verse 14, it says, and above all these, put on love. Put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Unity of mind. Sympathy. Tender hearts. Brotherly love. A humble mind. All this exists and is placed into perfect harmony because of love. As you look at these different areas, you're going to find yourself stronger suited in one or the other. You may be more sympathetic. You may study the Word, but your heart is not tender. Where is the Spirit working? We are to study the Word and have unity in mind. Does that lead us in our unity of heart? Have sympathy towards one another. Learn and express each other in brotherly love. Meet needs. Want to know needs. Have a tender heart. And approach all of this with a humble mind and love. Next week, we're going to pick up in verse 9. I'm excited about where we're going to learn about the suffering for righteousness' sake. Seem to be a common theme in scriptures. Harmony, Charles Spurgeon quotes, harmony implies cooperation when there are individual differences. These differences can have a pleasing rather than an irritating effect. It's important. We do not all need to sing the exact same tune, but our tune should harmonize with those of our brethren. We should be able to work together as the different parts of an athlete's body, working together to reach one common goal victoriously. Are we there as a church? I would say yes and no. We're not going to arrive. This is a constant walk and journey and pursuit. So as we look into this, in this chaotic world, let's learn to live in harmony. Because our harmony will drastically stand out differently. And when we stand out differently, we impact people with the gospel. As we impact people with the gospel, this harmony doesn't mean that you and I will not experience suffering, war, affliction. Spiritual war is going to happen. Harmony doesn't mean that you and I will not have misunderstandings. But it does mean that we will work through those misunderstandings. Harmony means that all of us have this great responsibility in this great orchestra. Think of it. You're an instrument. And as you're an instrument, a part of a greater orchestra, our Heavenly Father is conducting. So this morning, we need to play our instruments well. Live together in like-mindedness. Join in with creation and play skillfully so that the world will hear the resounding roar of the gospel. That's what we're about. If we do not go, we will miss out on God's harmony, His desire for you and I. If we do not love, we are missing out on who God is. Make a decision for yourself to pursue Christ. And watch the harmony begin to work out. And you're going to find quickly that much of the harmony comes from the newfound perspective you have of the gospel and of the words. Father, we